Hear now the reading of God's word from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. Marry and have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. And also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. One of the characteristics of us humans that I don't think we give enough attention to is that we are narrative creatures. We are people who are drawn to stories. You think about your own experience and how many times you come across a good story, a story that resonates with you. That story tends to stick with you, and it defines to a great degree who you are and how you are able to respond to situations and circumstances in your life. There are certain stories to which we are drawn more so than others. In my life, I can think of stories that I cannot pass up, regardless of how busy I am, how much I have going on, how many other things are on my heart or my mind. When I come across one of these stories, I am locked in, I am all in. It's a big list, but one genre of story that I cannot overlook are those stories that I might call best place stories. Best place to live. Best place to work. Best place to retire. Normally there are lists along those lines so that we are offered options to consider in terms of those places where we might find our best life. Best place to live. Best place to work. Best place to retire. When you think about your own life and your own story, when you think about the place where you live, the place where you work, the place to which some of you have retired, the question comes up in your heart, did I have any choice as to the place where I've landed? Did I really have any choice in terms of where I might live, particularly those of you who are still minors, you are not yet on your own. You did not choose the family that you were born into. It was a given for you, and so you are here in Birmingham, regardless of how you might feel about this place at this time. Some of you are in jobs that you might not have chosen if you really did have a choice, but they were the only options available to you, and so you felt as if I don't take this one, then perhaps I won't be able to find any place to work. Some of you have retired to this community because you have children here or other connections. There may be other places that you might consider being, but the point is, do we really have that much say-so in where we land in life? I'm not sure. But what we can choose, what we do have some measure of control over, regardless of where we find ourselves living or working or in retirement, is our attitude. How do we respond to this place we have landed? That is a matter over which we have much say-so. It was that point that Jeremiah was seeking to drive home in his ministry to the exiles in this passage of Scripture that is before us today. By now, you have heard enough about Jeremiah. You know the context of his prophecy. God raised him up to minister to people who would become displaced, who would be removed from their homelands, their places of work, their places of retirement, and then would be taken to the land of Babylon, a very different place, one that they never would have envisioned going. Certainly not a place they would have chosen to go. In this passage that I've read for you this morning from the 29th chapter, Jeremiah is sending a letter to those exiles who have been taken into Babylon. A letter that Jeremiah intends to offer them as encouragement. A letter that might remind them that even though they are far removed from Jerusalem and from the temple, from the places that have been so very dear to them, so very special, their places of worship, their places of work, their families, even though they're in Babylon, God is with them. God has not forgotten them. And even in this strange place, they have the opportunity to trust in God so that God might, during this season of exile, fashion and form them into a people who are able to experience even more the blessing of being God's chosen people and might be in an even better position to know and enjoy the good future that God has for them in the days ahead. And so in this letter, Jeremiah says to the exiles some quite remarkable words. He tells them to build houses and settle down. Jeremiah's way of reminding the people, even as he had prophesied previously, that you're going to be there for a while, 70 years. So while you're there, settle in, build houses, plant gardens, eat the produce from the gardens, marry and have children and find husbands and wives for your sons and your daughters. remarkable words that Jeremiah offers to a people in exile. But then comes what we might say is the most remarkable word of all. Yea, we might even consider it to be a radical word. Seek the peace of the city to which I have sent you, and pray for the city, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. It wasn't that Jeremiah was a fan of the Babylonians. It wasn't that Jeremiah thought Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, greater than Jehoiakim or any of the other kings who had reigned over Jerusalem. It certainly wasn't that Jeremiah was a traitor to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was more the case that Jeremiah wanted the people to understand that their being in Babylon was not anything that would frustrate the good plans, the good future that God had for them to know. It was Jeremiah's way of challenging the people who were out of control in terms of their situation. They were exiles. They had been taken captive. It was Jeremiah's way of challenging them to consider what they did have control over, which was their attitude, their response, and their openness to be used of God to be a blessing, to be a witness, to be examples of how when people trust God in every circumstance and situation, God favors them with mercy and grace in a way that makes their situation not just more tolerable, but more abundant, more fulfilling, more meaningful, more purposeful. There are times when we find ourselves in situations and circumstances in life where we ask ourselves the question, how did I get here? How did I land in this place? There are occasions when we find ourselves asking the question, is there a better place for me to be? Is there someplace better that I might live? Someplace better that I might work? Someplace better to which I might retire? Among many of us, there is this chronic dissatisfaction that somehow we are missing out on something better. What is the old expression? The grass always seems greener on the other side, when the fact of the matter is a passage like this one reminds us of how important it is for us to consider in the place where we have landed. It very well could be the place that God has put us. And instead of asking ourselves the question, might there be a better place for me to be, asking ourselves the question, what is God's purpose for me here, right now? And how can I conduct myself in this place in such a way that I bear witness to God's goodness, to God's abundance, to God's control over every circumstance and situation? I look in the New Testament at the life of Jesus, and I see Jesus as exhibit A of what it means to commit oneself to God's purpose in a place that is anything but perfect. The Gospels tell us that Jesus came into a world that was moving farther and farther away from God. It was a flawed world in many respects. It certainly was not a perfect world, but how does the Gospel of John phrase it in the most familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible? For God so loved the world that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus saw His purpose as coming into a world that was marked by flaws and imperfections and yielding Himself even to the point of death, giving of Himself upon the cross, that this fallen and imperfect world might experience the love of God to such a degree that it would be transformed into the world that God originally created it to be. If, as John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, does it not stand to reason that those of us who call ourselves the people of God should seek to love it as well? Should seek to order our lives in the course of our everyday experience in such a fashion that we don't buy into the values of the world, but instead, in the midst of our everyday life, the places where we live and where we work, where we undergo our labor and our leisure, we manifest the presence of God in such a way that people see that by trusting in God, folk experience blessing. We've experienced blessing. And the reason that God has blessed us to such a degree, as all of us here this morning have been blessed, is so that we in turn might extend that blessing to others in such a way that they too might experience God's favor in transforming ways. This morning, as you look at your life, where you are in this season of life, instead of asking yourself the question, am I in the best place that I could be? Is there a better place to which I might move? The grass surely seems greener over there than it does where I am right now. Instead of asking ourselves those sorts of questions, how much better might our life be? How much more blessed might we be if in the place where God has put us, we begin to ask ourselves the question, what would God have me to do? How would God have me to serve? In what ways might I give of myself to a greater degree to give witness to those around me of the difference that comes from trusting in God as my help and as my hope? As radical as Jeremiah's word was to the exiles to whom he wrote, more than a remarkable word, a radical one, because the Babylonians were the enemy. Build houses, settle down. Plant gardens, eat the produce. Marry, and have families and encourage your families to have families and increase in number. And above all, seek the shalom, the peace, the wholeness, the well-being of this pagan city to which I have sent you, and pray that it might prosper, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. As radical as that word was to the exiles to whom Jeremiah sent his letter, it is equally radical for us today in the year 2020 to hear a preacher challenge us to do the same thing in our situations, in our circumstances, at our season, at this time. I grew up, as many of you did, in this evangelical tradition. And I am so grateful for the tradition that nurtured and formed and shaped me and helped to awaken me to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I would not for a moment reject the training that I received in the churches in which I was reared. And yet, I have also seen over the years that there was, at times, it was an implied theology. At other times, it was a quite explicit one, that this world is not our home and we're trying to escape this world. So let's not settle in too much to this earthly life, because God has something greater for us to know. And indeed, God does. There is a glorious eternity to which those of us who have trusted in Christ can hang our hearts upon. Be the first to claim that wonderful promise. But in the meantime, God has so much for us to do here and now. God has blessed us in so many ways here and now. We are not only to be on this earth in order to plot ways of escaping it. We are here to be good stewards of this world and to care for it in such a way that we bear witness to the blessing of God in a manner that blesses all of God's creation and transforms it into a place and a people who are always near to Him. I don't know that enough of us understand our role and responsibility in this matter, that we have been blessed to be blessings. We're sort of like that person I heard about, the businessman. I'll never forget his story. It had been a long business trip, and he had finally made it back to the hotel, and he decided he would go into the lounge, have a nightcap or two. Evidently, it turned out to be many more than he would have anticipated. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the person at the front desk receives a call. It's this businessman on the other line. What time does the lounge open in the morning? And the person at the front desk said the lounge will be open at 10 o'clock in the morning. About an hour later, the phone rings at the front desk. The person at the front desk answers it. It's the same man. What time does the lounge open in the morning? Person at the front desk said, I believe you called earlier, and I gave you that information. The lounge will be open at 10 o'clock in the morning. Every hour, on the hour, for the rest of the night, this businessman would call the front desk. What time does the lounge open? And the person at the front desk would say, because he had been trained to be courteous and respectful, the lounge will be open at 10 o'clock in the morning. That next morning, when they were getting ready for the shift change, the manager of the hotel comes in and asks, how did things go during the night? Were there any problems? No, not really any problems, except there's been this guy and he's been calling all night, asking the same question, what time does the lounge open? And I keep telling him, it opens at 10 in the morning. About that time, the phone rings. It's the guy. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, the shift change. He's on the line. Front desk guy gives it to the manager. Manager says, I'll take care of this, sir. Sir, you've been calling. You've been calling on the hour. Understand, all through the night, what time does the lounge open? It opens at 10 o'clock, and you cannot get into the lounge until 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you understand? To which the businessman says, get in. I've been calling to get out. There are times when we find ourselves in places asking ourselves the question, how do I get out of here? I am so sick of this place. I am so sick of this season. I didn't want to be here, but I've landed here. This is my lot in life. I'm not happy about it, not one bit. How can I escape this place? Might it be that God has put you there for a very special purpose and has blessed you to be a blessing in that very place? So that if at times it seems to you to be as confining and as constraining as a prison cell, you may not have any control over that. But what you do have control over is your attitude, your openness, your faithfulness to God's purpose, to seek the peace and the prosperity of that very place. Until Jesus comes. And in response to your faithfulness, He releases you and redeems you and restores you to the place where He is and will be for all eternity. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Be faithful in the place where God has put you for today. Tomorrow, there will be a better place, a place with Jesus. And without question, that place is the best place of them all. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you for calling us to this place today, because here we experience your presence in such a way that we receive the grace, the blessing that we require to be able to show faithfulness in the other places to which you send us every other day of the week. God, some of us here this morning have found ourselves in hard places, places where we have not found great fulfillment. But help us to consider how we might show greater devotion to you in those very places. We might seek wholeness in those places, that they might be better because, as one of your children, as a follower of Christ, you have called us to that place. So that in the process of our bearing witness to the strength, the power, the mercy, the grace that you make available, not only will those places become better, so will we become better too. And as enough of us give that kind of witness, surely the kingdoms of this world will one day become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.